Today's show is sponsored by Miracle Made. And oh my God, you guys, you know that I love a luxurious set of sheets. And I now have such a set of sheets because of a Miracle Made. They are bedding that has been inspired by NASA. They've got silver-infused fabrics that actually make temperature regulating a thing. So you're not like getting too hot or too cold or whatever, you know, the whole thing that happens with your body's temperature losing its mind. Miracle Made helps with that. One of the little things that my husband particularly loves about Miracle Made is that it like doesn't have as much bacteria as regular sheets because of it's infused with this silver that prevents up to 99.7% of bacterial growth. So it leaves the sheets cleaner for longer. And then the thing for my husband is that it doesn't give him acne, which is like an issue for some people. But more than all of that, it's just luxuriously comfortable and delightful. And it has that cooling feeling while also being cozy. Very hard to achieve those two things at the same time. I mean, Miracle Made, come on, well done. So here's what I think you should do. I think you should go to trymiracle.com/fakethenation and buy some sheets today. And if you order today, you can save 40% off. Use the promo code FAKETHENATION at the checkout and you'll get 3 free towels and save an extra 20%. So there's just a lot of savings here, folks. Order today, you'll get 40% off. Use the promo code FAKETHENATION. Go to trymiracle.com/FAKETHENATION. And Miracle's so confident in their product, it's backed with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So if you're not 100% satisfied, which I don't see happening, you'll get a full refund. Upgrade your sleep with Miracle Made. Go to trymiracle.com/fakethenation and use the code FAKETHENATION to claim your free 3-piece towel set and save over 40% off. Again, that's trymiracle.com/fakethenation to treat yourself. Thank you, Miracle Made, for sponsoring this episode.
Fake the Nation, episode 216.
Hello, hello. This is Fake the Nation, where we talk about news, we talk about politics, and where we stare into the middle distance and ask, is this all there is? No, you guys, this isn't all there is. I'm your host, Nagin Farsad. And what there is a fantastic episode of Fake the Nation waiting for you. The question is rationality overrated? That is what we're going to be answering today with my esteemed panelists. Let's get started with topic number one. Talk about rationality. And to talk about this, I am joined by comedian John F. O'Donnell. Hi, John.
Hey, Nagin.
And I'm joined by Joyelle Johnson. Hey, Joyelle.
Hey, boo.
So the question is rationality overrated? What if the irrational option is sometimes better? We actually read a piece in Vox by Sigal Samuel, and he reported on research that shows sometimes people do people choose the rational choice because the rational thing would violate something we value more, something like not being annoying. For example, like, is it rational to correct someone's grammar? Yes, it is. It's rational. Is it dickish? Yes, it is. It's dickish. So first off, your general reactions to the piece and what is your relationship with rationality?
I come from a very long line of people who correct people's grammar in public situations. And I realize that that is an asshole move, but I like when people do it to me because I don't want to be sounding crazy in these streets. So I can usually feel somebody out of whether or not they would like to be corrected. And I only allow people in my life that are okay with being corrected in public. That is my rationale. And yeah, that's my answer to that.
John F. O'Donnell.
Well, I found the article really interesting. I don't know if I was totally able to wrap my head around all of it. But my understanding is that it's become associated now that the rational mind is more connected with sort of like self-interest and being pragmatic and stuff like that, where it's like, oh, but the reasonable mind is more connected with sort of a broader sort of like social obligation or social norms. Like, for example, the rational mind would be like, oh, hey, yeah, like, why should I, you know, pay John for his stand-up special when I can just figure out a way to get it for free or listen to it streaming. But the reasonable mind would be like, oh, I should support somebody in what they're sort of doing. You know what I mean? I guess that would be the difference. But I think also that the rational, what rational compared to reasonable has changed meanings. Like, the rational at one point meant like, okay, yeah, it's rational to make sure you get things that benefit you, but you also realize that your benefit is connected with the benefit of other people. So there's a reasonable element to it. But now in our culture, it's thought of like this rugged individualism, like only our rationality is this very narrow thing, almost like a very like Ayn Rand style kind of like self-interest at the expense of everybody else compared to being reasonable, which is like cutting your own self off at the knees. Is that what it is?
Can I be rational and point out that I think her name is Ayn Rand and not Ayn Rand?
Totally. And can I be, yeah, you can. That was also, that was a couple levels above grammar dickish. You know what I mean? And
I like that.
Also, yeah, I've never finished reading any of those fucking books, you know?
No, nor have I. And I could be wrong. I could be wrong about
you're
the pronunciation.
You're totally right.
Who fucking knows?
Did you guys, by the way, ever see that quote she said about Native Americans?
What?
The quote that she said about Native Americans.
No, what is it?
Do tell.
Yeah, I'm not going to say it out loud, but you guys should look that up afterwards. It is.
Wait, what is the spirit of the quote?
Basically that
racism.
Well, beyond that, basically being like they deserved to be genocided because they couldn't keep it from happening. That's like the objectivity.
Oh, that's her. Oh. That's her hot rationality take. It to a fucking horrendous degree, right?
That's her hot take.
Yes. That's like Kanye West levels of slavery was a choice. I'm here for it.
Right,
so
right,
the
right.
fact, Nagin, right. that you know how to pronounce her name properly really is part of the problem. That's how you get out of that one.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so in this piece, there were some key findings about this. First, that reasonable people appear to be less selfish than rational people, which I think is something you were basically getting at, John F. O'Donnell, right?
Yeah.
Like, do we support John F. O'Donnell by buying one of his albums? A reasonable person would be like, yeah, I'm not selfish. I want to support him and whatever, you know? But a rational person would be like, no, this is his career path. He chose it. It's his own fucking problem. And I don't give a shit.
Wait, no.
Yeah. So billionaires are rational and poor people are reasonable.
Pretty much.
Is that the answer?
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
It's gross because I'm basically saying if you want to make money, be rational, which is horrible.
Be rational.
And
yeah.
I don't.
You have to be because I feel like it's a Jeff Bezos type of thing where you don't get to be a billionaire by using your products to help your employees. Like, that's not going to happen. You got to sell the products.
Yeah.
So it's like, to be able to get to be a billionaire, you have to not have whatever the sensitivities that the reasonable people have.
Right.
You got to be able to be, you know, able to get straight to that. You got to be a dick.
You have to look at situations in terms of numbers, which I think is what rationality sort of implies. You look at people and their needs and stuff like that. It's just categories and numbers and, you know, indices. It's not... We talked about this in a previous episode that Jeff Bezos could still be a billionaire, pay all of his workers a middle class salary, provide them health care and a motherfucking pension. And again, he would still be a fucking billionaire. He would just be a slightly smaller billionaire. Right.
But he wouldn't have got to be a billionaire if he was like that. If he believed in things like that, he would not have gotten to be the billionaire to be able to pay off all the people's
money. I don't believe. In my hopeful state, I don't believe that. In a hopeful state, I don't believe that.
Yeah,
so
I don't know.
To be a billionaire, you look at the CEO of Chobani. And I don't know. I don't think he's a billionaire, but he's like a hundred millionaire. By the way, being a hundred millionaire or whatever is fantastic. You know, like
you're still leaving money for generations. Did you just do a plug for a yogurt company?
Do you think?
No, I know. No, I only mentioned him because, and I don't have any current news on Chobani, but like last year, I read a piece about him. And he helps refugees and he helps immigrant families and he's very good to his workers. And he's apparently, again, I'm like remembering an article I read a year ago, But apparently he's very good to his employees, and he's still really fucking rich, and he made a product that people like to eat.
Well, guess what, Nagin? Yeah. Guess what, Nagin? That's why he's a 100 millionaire and not a billionaire.
And not a
right?
billionaire.
That's why he's not in the big boys club, okay?
Yes.
Because he's giving right. money to refugees. Hello, refugees don't eat yogurt. Refugees don't deserve refugees. Yogurt. If they deserve yogurt, they'd have yogurt. Ask Ayn Rand, whatever, however you fucking say her name.
Ayn. Okay, let me mention.
And I just want to say, please. I feel like I'm going to take a stab that men are more rational and women are more reasonable.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, yes. Joyelle? Well, I'll tell you what. I've been donating money all over the place to, like, venues and shit. I don't have any money coming in, so who's rational now, huh? And last time I checked, I vaguely resemble a man. So
wait, can I just point out the hilariousness of that, which is that we're as we record this, we're still in the middle of the global pandemic. I don't know when this segment is going to air, but as we record this, we're in like week three or something of stay at home, and I get emails all the time from people that are like, "Can you help this set of restaurant workers? Can you help this set of like hair salon workers? Can you help this set of, you know, barber?" I mean, right? You guys are on those lists. You're getting those emails. Yeah. Can you help these artists? Can you help these theaters? And I will fucking pitch in every single time. And I like all of us. I mean, and it's ridiculous. I mean, I'm doing better. I have health insurance. Like, I'm doing okay, right? Like, I have a bit of a cushion, but I'm still one of these people whose majority of their work has been canceled. And it's so funny because this is it. This is not, it is not rational behavior, right? For me and you guys to be putting in $5 here and $20 there and whatever it is we're doing, it's not rational behavior because we don't have the money coming in necessarily.
Yeah,
right?
I'm too rational for that. I haven't been doing that. I've been sending out a lot of thoughts and prayers to people without jobs because I don't have a job either. So I have not been.
Hey guys, this is the new. We have a GoFundMe based economy now. That's what the country
is. I can't do it.
Oh God, it's ridiculous.
The GoFundMe based economy.
Here's some more key findings from that piece. People who viewed themselves as reasonable shared significantly more than those who viewed themselves as rational. I think we just illustrated that with the donations we talked about. So they did this dictator game experiment, which I thought was interesting.
And this part is interesting. Yeah.
You're given money and you have to decide whether to give that money away or how much of it or whatever. Participants donated 5% more money if they were aiming to be reasonable. So if the goal was to be reasonable, then they ended up giving 5% more money. But if the goal was to be rational, they gave less.
No money.
When participants were asked to recall a reasonable or rational action from their lives and then take part in the dictator game, it turned out that recalling a reasonable action meant that the offers were slightly higher than if you were asked to recall a rational action. And then 14% of participants in the rational condition wanted to donate nothing. And only 9.5% of those in the reasonable condition did the same.
Who the fuck in the reasonable condition donates nothing? What kind of monster is that? What are they like when they're in the rational frame of mind? You know what I mean?
Right. Right.
When to be reasonable and when to be rational.
Nice.
I've suffered through a couple of boyfriends who loved themselves as rational beings, right? They love to like talk about rationality. They love to sort of regurgitate philosophy classes they took as sophomore in college. You know what I mean? You know those guys?
No.
I dated two of them. Joyelle, have you dated a guy like that?
I've dated a bunch of trash, so probably lots of trash.
But this is a particular type of guy. I feel like they really pride themselves on having had some sort of a, you know, higher education, and then they'll reference it a lot. They'll like remember writers and stuff like that, and bring it up and whatever. Ugh. And I find it frustrating. Anyway.
Here. So the last guy I dated before this new guy, he had a PhD and he was black. And what I found is you cannot tell a black man with a PhD anything. Like, you can't tell that motherfucker the sky is blue. He will give you a rationale on, or, well, the sky isn't really blue. It's actually a reflection of the, shut up. Shut up. So,
that's fucking hilarious.
Now I just got a dude who went to grad school. One grad school. I don't need multiple grad schools. You ain't, if you ain't cutting somebody up in a surgery fucking OR, why are you a doctor? You just read all the books.
I get like how you have like a maximum education level now.
I don't need no PhDs. I'm
going
that.
The other way. I'm just trying to find a woman who doesn't know how to read, you know? So she can't fact check all
She's
the lies I'm going to throw at her, you know? I just want to be able to freely lie to her and have her not be able to go on the internet. You know what I mean?
But those dudes who, with their graduate degrees or the whatever, like, they can't, they're not only, like, not reasonable, but they just completely lack compassion in regular little situations. Like, this one fucking guy, like, on our firm, I mean, we dated, like, 3 dates or something, and I don't even know why I gave him 3, but like, because on the first one, I mean, he fucking calculated to the dime what we each owed, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, we're in the New World Order. Like, this is feminism. I'm okay with that. But I was just like, it's not that it, forget feminism. It's just looks, it feels selfish. It feels calculating. It feels like all of these things you don't want to experience on a date. You know what I mean? I'd rather be like, you know what? I'll fucking take it. So that at least there's a sense here that we're in a community, me and you at this table, you know what I mean? And that I'll just fucking pay for the bill. Like, I don't want to do this calculation. It's not what fun and dates are supposed to be like.
It's tacky.
No, yeah. My rational guy would always remind me how much stuff costs. He would always remind me how stuff costs. Train tickets from D.C. to New York. He would always let me know how much the train ticket cost and all that type of stuff. So, yeah. Y'all rational dudes can kick rocks.
Ugh.
If I were to, so I'm going to close on this question. If I were to ask you guys to, you can be a millionaire if you behave rationally from like now on. So you're not going to donate to venues. You're not going to do any of that, blah, blah, blah. You have to behave rationally and you will end up being a millionaire. Or you can be reasonable and compassionate and you will be a 100,000-aire. What would you choose?
Well,
I know this is a ridiculous scenario, but go with me.
I'm going to choose the millions of dollars because I have put in my dues as a black woman in America, and I've been reasonable enough for 38 years. So I'm willing to be selfish as fuck to be a millionaire.
That's a hard to argue against.
Keep my Amazon. Keep
John F. O'Donnell.
I guess I got to go the reverse. I'm a white man in America, so I'm going to downgrade to the 100,000-aire situation because I've just been coasting, you know. And it's been
pretty
sweet.
You'll probably get some benefits because of your just status as a white guy.
What's that?
Along the way. Although, John F. O'Donnell, you could play, you know, the mental health card.
Hell yeah,
and say,
dude.
You know?
Look, that's what I say. It's like, you know, I still have white privilege, but I have bipolar disorder. You know, I have a chronic mental illness. So, like, the P in my privilege has been lowercased. You know what I mean?
Nice.
Like, I'm not stupid. I know I'm not dealing with institutionalized racism, but I am dealing with institutionalized. I have been institutionalized. Yeah. So, you know.
Oh, that was great. If that's not a joke, that should be a fucking joke.
That is. That's got to be
okay,
a bit.
That's
great. That's
got
to be.
Perfect. All right, you guys, I want the people of Faith the Nation to know where to follow you. Quickly, Joyelle, where do they follow you?
Joyelle Nicole across all social media platforms.
And John F. O'Donnell.
You guys, I got a podcast called Take Your Pill Psychopath. Please check it out and join my newsletter. It makes me so happy. JFODnews.com.
Would you rather be the most attractive person or the most intelligent? We're going to take a quick break. And when we get back, we're going to get to the bottom of that question.
This HeadGum podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Today's show is sponsored by Pros. This is kind of, I feel like, you know, I'm on some sort of Lord of the Rings journey trying to figure out skincare. And I feel like this customized skincare line is really got my name on it. Basically, every bottle of Pros custom hair care and skincare, I tried the skincare just recently, is made to order and it's personalized. It's got a unique blend of naturally powerful and proven effective ingredients to meet your needs, like specifically you. And then the way they do it is you take this great, like in-depth quiz, basically. They analyze over 80 factors for a complete view of your life, your beauty goals. Like I have oily skin that's also dry, which is just a fun little conundrum. I live in New York City. Like we've got these four seasons. My face gets weird during seasonal shifts. All of these things I got to kind of talk about in answering the questions. The other fun thing was they asked us at the end, like, do you like a creamy type of moisturizer or like a less creamy kind? And I was kind of like, I think like less creamy. And they were like, that's fine. Like you can do that, but we think for your skin type, creamier is better. And I never knew that. So I love that there's so much kind of personal information that goes into creating this. I got my stuff in the mail very quickly after. I got a wonderful serum. Like I said, this very creamy moisturizer. And this also very just delectably creamy cleanser that just kind of feel like I think it's possible that I've been washing my face with just like harshness for like many years, because when I saw this cleanser, I was like, oh, is this what it's supposed to feel like? It's supposed to feel like a little bit of a delight on my face. That's not what I've been doing. So I don't know, guys. And here's the thing. You don't have to take my word for it. In a third party, double blind dermatologist supervised controlled clinical study, which is like the gold standard for research studies, Pros prove that personalization works better than off-the-shelf alternatives, which just sort of totally makes sense on a just logical level if you think about it. Just it makes common sense. Pros is so confident that you'll love your results that they're offering my listeners an exclusive trial offer so you can see the difference custom care can make. 50% of your first subscription order at pros.com/FakeTheNation will be taken off. That's pros.com/FakeTheNation. You get your free consultation and 50% off your one-of-a-kind formulas. Again, that's pros.com/FakeTheNation. Go and get your just super personalized, luxurious skincare products and hair care products. That's what I'm going to try next. So pros.com/FakeTheNation.
I am the type of person that has subscribed to things and I have forgotten about those things. I have paid twice for a children's educational app. And I didn't know that I was paying twice for several months. Until that is, I discovered Rocket Money. And because I use Rocket Money, it just showed up all these things. The thing that I was paying twice for that made me incredibly angry. Thank God Rocket Money ended that for me. It also cancels the subscription for you. So you don't have to like go through the hassle of going to that site and figuring out how to cancel. They actually make canceling very difficult. I don't know if any of you have had the experience, but I have been on a like a roundabout 8-exit nightmare trying to unsubscribe to something before. Rocket Money eliminates that hassle. It also alerts you to an increase in subscription price. And this is something Rocket Money did for me. It negotiates a lower price for something you already subscribed to. So like for my cable bill, it got me a lower price. And I was very happy about that. Nearly 75% of people have subscriptions that they've forgotten about, which makes me feel better because I'm one of them. But it makes me feel terrible because what are we doing? Losing that money. I don't want to waste that money. And I know you don't want to waste that money. If you struggle with these kinds of purchases, if you struggle with finances in general, Rocket Money will help you with the budgeting, help you track your expenses, help you, like I said, cancel those unwanted subscriptions. It's a personal finance app that finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions. It monitors your spending. It helps you lower your bills so you can get back to saving. I mean, me and my husband have been on the warpath, and Rocket Money has been a really big part of that. It has over 5 million users with over $500 million in canceled subscriptions. The average member has saved up to $740 a year using the app's features, which is, I mean, that tracks for me. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions. Go to rocketmoney.com/fakethenation. Again, that's rocketmoney.com/fakethenation. Save the money at rocketmoney.com/fakethenation. We are going to move on to the next topic. And we're going to ask a couple of internal questions. And for this segment, I am joined by comedian Jenna Friedman. Hey, Jenna.
Hey.
And comedian Michael Cruz Kane. Hi, Michael.
Hey.
I have some eternal questions for you to ponder aloud. Let us riff on this first question. Would you rather be the most attractive person or the most intelligent person?
Oh, wow. That's no contest for me. I'm going attractive all the way. Doy.
What?
No, let me say this. I want the intelligent people to be around, but I don't want to be I want them to do the intelligent stuff, and I want to be the most attractive one, because naturally I will be granted the mantle of leadership if I'm the most attractive. And the intelligent people are the ones who really have to do all the work. You know what I'm saying? I don't want the general intelligence to fade.
Really,
I want high general intelligence. I just don't want to have it. Like, if they reboot me, I want to be dumber than I am.
Okay, but what benefit is that to you? To just be
high? I
think
ignorance is bliss until you die from it, and then you're dead. So the smarter you are, the more you have to be aware of, you know, ambient suffering, and I don't want that awareness.
Jenna, do you want to be intelligent or hot?
As a person who is hot. No, I think beautiful people.
Sorry, I didn't mean to laugh so hard at that.
Fine.
You know what, guys? If you don't know what Jenna Friedman looks like, she is hot.
I mean, the older you get, like, I'm 37, so I feel like it's like, oh, that's quirky that she has confidence.
you're turning into dust in front of our eyes.
But I will say that for women, it's very like, you know, like I would so much rather be smart. There are so many types of intelligence. Like, you could have the type of intelligence where like you don't have to do the annoying work, and you can like, you know, be like a monk and just like be completely zen in your intelligence and not have to worry about things. But I would so much rather that. And I feel like if you're like really hot, like you can't go on a run. I mean, not like predators. Oh, I'm going to get in trouble, but all women get murdered. But why would you want to add more attention to yourself? You know what I mean? And that is victim blaming. That is completely problematic. But I just would rather look like neutral, and it would make me feel safer than being like a
gorgeous as a woman. Is that weird? Is that a weird thing to say? It's pretty problematic.
No, I mean, I think a lot of women probably feel that way. Or like, I think a lot of women too are like, oh, I'm just walking down the street. I fucking came out of the gym. I look like shit. How am I still getting catcalls? You know what I mean? Like, could I be? I think the interesting thing is that you're going to get, I think even if you looked neutral, you're going to get.
Of course you're going to get. No, I'm not saying you're not. I'm not doing that. Of course you're going to get. You're going to get murdered. You're going to get catcalls. Yeah. You're going to get raped. No matter what you look like. There's nothing to do with that.
I don't understand. What is the question? Do I have to be a woman in this scenario?
No,
what
you're are the, you. What are the, so,
no, you're you. You're, yeah.
Then take away whatever intellect I have. Strip it down. Yeah. Just unplug the whole system.
Would I rather be a dumb, hot man? Sure.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Hot woman and get burned at the stake.
Michael Cruz Kane is also arguing for the character of John Hamm on 30 Rock. If anybody remembers that character.
I think about that all the time.
He was dating Liz Lemon, and he's obviously a very hot man who I'm not going to hallway pass him, but he would shortlist a hallway pass.
I dated a guy like that in real life. He was a doctor, and he had fallen off a roof. Because he just walked backwards, and he had been a model, and he was this beautiful man, and he fell off like a fourth floor. But I met him after that. He was fine, but he was moving something, and he just fell off a fourth floor roof. But he had like a PhD in psychology or something. He was a doctor.
I don't understand what you just told us. All that you did was just give us a hardcore brag. I dated a really dumb hot guy.
Like John Hamm.
This hot doctor with a PhD used to be a model. Anyway,
but
he
was like John Hamm's character in the 30 Rock.
Yeah, because John Hamm is a doctor in that show.
And he's only a doctor because he's like hot and everybody likes him, but he's not smart.
Wait, do you sense that, I mean, but when you're taking like the board exams, you can't just be hot through the exam.
I don't know what, it wasn't like a MD.
He had something.
No. He was John Hamm's character. How long did this relationship last? It wasn't
last?
A relationship. Like, how long? It was like, I just dated him a little bit, like a couple dates.
For like a few dates or something.
Yeah.
Okay. But, and were you like, this is making me want to kill myself? Or were you like, I'm going to let it drag on for another
date? No, I didn't let it drag on.
So
he was very, very attractive, but he was literally John Hamm's character in that 30 Rock thing. It was just a couple dates.
Yeah. Right. I didn't know that this was a thing where we could just talk about hot people we've dated. I wasn't aware.
It's not.
Michael, do you have any hot people you want to go in and throw into this conversation?
My wife is could have been a model. So
there it is. He's just winning wife points. That does nothing for the rest of us.
She will
literally never
listen to this.
Yeah. Does everyone know that my husband does not listen to a word I say or do on anything?
Your husband, like, by the way, also hot. Your husband is a hunk.
But he is not stupid. And that's what's really nice about
him. That's the problem.
I think I would rather be, I guess I'd, I would like to know what it feels like to just be Sofia Vergara, but just for like a day. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to make a lifetime out of it, but I would like to, and it's funny, I saw her once. In front of a Trump hotel.
Is this going to be a story about how you dated Sofia Vergara?
Sofia Vergara. No, I just walked by and she was standing there waiting for a car or something. And I was like, oh, bless New York for there not being 1,000 paparazzi like right here, you know, cataloging her every move. But, and I was just like, oh shit, in person, she's still one of the most beautiful women I've ever seen. Like, she is just like ridiculously smoking. And I was just like, what is that like? She was also wearing stilettos like on her day off, which I thought was just a slap in the face because
some
I'm
dressed
like,
down stilettos, yeah, like cargo like shorts jeans, and stilettos.
Yeah. It was like jeans, really tight jeans that looked fantastic on her, and then stilettos. But yeah, I do wonder what it's like to be that just for a day. But I think intelligence would be just really intelligent where you can just like, I always wonder what it's like to be one of those people that looks at like an LSAT or like an SAT or something. It's just like, yeah, these are all so like where you have a brain that can handle those things.
Do you know that that's what I do? That is a job that I have.
Oh, do you? Are you really? Yeah. Like I did okay. I had a high SAT score, but I actually like took a class first before I took the SAT. You know what I mean? Like it was, my brain is not designed for those types of, what are those types of questions called? Like that type of learning or whatever.
Logic games.
Yeah. I can do it. I'm not a fucking idiot, but like, it's not natural to me basically. And so I do wonder what it would be like to just see those things and be like, naturally solve them or whatever. That would be fun. But I basically didn't answer the question.
But don't you think aging women who are hot and then age, like it's so hard for them?
Some of them age so well.
Like two
well,
of
I'm
them.
I'm assuming I get to retain my hotness my whole life long.
Yeah, well, men do. I take that as implicit. Paul men Newman, do. Like men do. But like women, I mean, so few of them, if you've seen any of those like true Hollywood stories, end up like, okay. There's Sophia Loren, right. Who's like timeless beauty.
She's gorgeous. People like Christie Brinkley, I think, are like
killing
it.
She's not even that old, though. She's like 50.
Christie Brinkley's 29.
I think she's like closer to 60.
Maybe.
I don't know. But I do think I think the only way to do it is to Meryl Streep it and continuously be in the public eye so they can see the development of each wrinkle.
Yeah, but she's also like an actress. She's not like Giselle. You know what I mean?
Just a beauty. Right, yeah. Right.
Streep's
no,
not like riding on her hotness. Hotness isn't what keeps her in the
convo. No, definitely not. But that said, I think she's quite beautiful and she has probably done a million things to her face and she looks great. Still, sure. She's done the most subtle work. If she's done subtle work.
If you're listening,
know.
Meryl, congrats.
Meryl, I think you're fantastic. But give me a job. do you have that kind of power? Okay, we're going to move on to another eternal question to round out this segment. It's a similar kind of like you're stuck with a thing forever. If you had to pick one food to eat for the rest of your life, but you could only pick that one food, what would it be?
Can I ask questions about the question?
Yeah, like, please.
Do I have to take into account whether this food is going to make me feel bad?
Ooh.
Yeah, like nutrients. Do you have to take nutrients into account?
Okay, well, let's do a version where you do not have to take nutrients into account.
Okay, it's probably going to be a cheeseburger. That's probably going to be a big, fat, sloppy cheeseburger with all the gross-ass juice just dripping all over me.
Like, you can picture yourself eating that forever?
If it would not kill me to do it, if it wouldn't give me like horrible diarrhea four times a day, then yes.
Jenna, what's your food?
I don't know. I think about that. I like maybe like a really good like brick oven pizza, like just like a Roberta's. Ooh. Or like a good pizza.
I'm one of these New Yorkers who secretly loves a deep dish pizza. But don't tell anybody.
You just got yourself canceled. The you guys thing is nothing. This is cancellation.
I don't even think that would be my food. I don't know. It's funny because I go from like a nice, I feel such joy with like a nice Mediterranean dish of like, that's like a, you know, gyro and tabbouleh and hummus. And
oh, if you could get like a mezza plate, then you've got all your nutrition.
Yeah, exactly. Like maybe it's something like that. But as you said, cheeseburger, I was like, fuck, I think I could eat a cheeseburger every day for the rest of my life. And I could probably eat a pizza every day. I mean, there's so many delicious things. But the mezza plate,
yeah,
it feels
smart.
A bit of a health issue as well if we wanted to go that route. Yeah. I mean, otherwise, we're just like, what? We're fucking having green shakes, you know, smoothies.
Yeah.
Yeah. The question almost has to be.
It has to be like a green
irrespective
smoothie.
Of the ramifications.
It has to be. Yeah. Yeah, it has to be.
Also, the money, too. Like, if I think of a specific cheeseburger, there's a restaurant in New York called the Little Owl where I could not afford to eat every day, but that's the cheeseburger that's in my mind.
I've never been. Is that something that
go.
I need to do?
You got to go. It's so good.
If
it still exists after this, you got to go there.
Okay. Aww. We're recording this segment during the coronavirus. I don't know when you're going to hear it.
Are you planning on releasing it in like 2025?
We're planning on releasing it at some point in this fiscal quarter. But all right, you guys. Thank you for joining me for this segment on Eternal Questions. Michael, quickly, where'd people find you?
You can find me at Cruz Kane on Twitter. That's probably the spot. C-R-U-Z-K-A-Y-N-E.
Jenna Friedman.
I was just thinking about Yeah, if people like actually are still joining Twitter to listen to us. But yeah, it's or not listen, sorry, see us. I'm off air deaf or blind. It's been a long one. Okay. you can find me at Jenna Friedman, Jenna with one N, on Twitter, other places too.
Great. Guys, follow everything that they do and say. They're fantastic. That is it for the show, you guys. I want to thank the production team here at Fake the Nation. That's our producer, Anita Flores, our talented audio engineer, Andy Christens. Gabby Alter wrote our theme music, and Lily Fleshler helps with research. And you guys, we'd love to hear from you. Send us your feedback, topics we should be chatting about, or guest ideas you might have, or recipes you think I should be making. I don't know. Leave us a voicemail, 347-770-4981, or drop us a line at comments@fakethenation.com. If you like what you hear, please do leave us a review on Apple Podcasts because it helps people find out about the show. That's real. Thank you, guys, and until next week, goodbye.